but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
How many of you were here Good Friday 5 years ago? So you will no doubt remember the three main points I made as I was preparing for today. I then looked back later at what I said 5 years ago, and there's a lot of things that are not very different. The message of Good Friday is in some ways quite simple and quite clear, but I hope the way I'm going to present it in the next 15-20 minutes will just help you to have a different take on it and perhaps let it sink in a bit more. First of all, though, I'm going to read part of the Passion narrative from Matthew's Gospel. It's a section that Noah referred to last week in his sermon when Jesus was before the Sanhedrin. So if you want it in your Bible, Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 57. Yes, 57, there we are. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. And they spat in his face and struck him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" If we'd read the same account from Mark's gospel, two differences I'd point out. First of all, Mark tells us that even the two witnesses who said that Jesus said he would destroy the temple could not agree. Their testimony was not in agreement. And the other, perhaps more significant one, when Jesus replied to the high priest who asked him, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus' reply was, "I am," using the name of God himself. So what I'd like to do today is to, we're here on this Good Friday holiday, and I'd just like to hang three things I want to say on those three words. It's a holiday, it's Friday, and it is good. But I want you to watch a video first, which is a video you might not expect to be watching today. So if Chris is able to get it up for us.
Have you ever wondered what we might see if we could pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas? If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on Earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in my life when I created Earth. They're so far away from my kids down there.
What?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we raise the army, Lord? Teach them a lesson?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe it's just one person.
What person?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that.
Lord, we're sending just one person. It'll have to be someone very powerful and very strong. Because there's tons of people down there.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be going as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
Lord, this plan is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king?
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a young peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl?
Brilliant! They won't be expecting that!
My lord, I see you're planning to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven?
This is too risky. Sending the prince in disguise as a tiny baby, born not to kings, but to humble villagers. Surely our prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals?
Filled with hay?
Filled with poo?
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
Lord, how will all people know he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
Sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
Sing to welcome him.
Please say we can sing.
God looked at their hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some shepherds?
That's a lovely job.
Those blokes could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
You know the rest of the story. An angel visited humble girl with a courageous heart and told her the good news. She will have a baby and he will be the Prince of Heaven, who would help Earth to be close to God again. As planned, the baby was born in a stable about as far from a palace as you can get. A group of wise men noticed some strange clues in the stars. They packed their belongings and followed the star right to a baby. And of course, a bunch of lonely shepherds were guarding their sheep when all of a sudden the sky was lit up by thousands of angels singing. Nobody would ever expect that.
I hope you noticed among the credits, based on a true story. So today is a holiday. Today is a holy day. Why is it? I mean, that's fairly obvious. The way I look at the Christian year, the festivals, the celebrations of the Christian year, three of them stand out. There's Christmas Day, there's Good Friday, and there's Easter Day. Yes, there are others. But those three, to me, stand out as representing the heart of what we believe and what we have to celebrate through the year. There's Christmas Day, when God chooses, we remember that God chooses to experience human life right from its beginning, conception and birth. He chooses to share the human experience. There's Good Friday, when God chooses to share the experience of death. And then there's Easter Day, when he finally puts the seal on the victory over sin and death. You know, why did I choose that video? We don't do things like that at Easter, do we? At Christmas, it is celebration. We get Christmas, we get children's nativities. It's a lot of that. We don't make videos like that about Easter. We started to do something. If you go to Trafalgar Square today, you'll be able to see the Passion enacted. Well, that's by adults, and it's serious, and it's in a somber mood. But one thing I'd like to underline is that the whole of what God has done for us is worth celebrating. And that does include Christ's death on this day we remember. When Paul was writing about the resurrection, he used strong words about the need to believe and to know that the resurrection was true. He said, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile.
Don't lie.
But Christ has been raised." I think he would have said the same things about Christmas. If Christ had not been born as a human being, your faith is useless. And about Good Friday. If Christ had not died, really died on the cross, then your faith is futile. They hang together. You can't have one of these without the others. The incarnation, God's choosing to share human nature, God's choosing to share the experience of death, and then God rising from death to show us that the way is open to reconciliation with him. And we use a variety of phrases to say what happened as a result of Christ's death on Good Friday. We talk about the price being paid. We talk about of the way to God being open.
God had now had
we talk about
had a son, and he was on earth
Christ bearing our sins, all sorts of ways of talking about it. And in a way, it doesn't matter.
Because
for me, what matters is that there are these three linked events God that show how God much God cared for us. The same person of the Godhead who was born as a little baby 30-odd years earlier. So the same person of the Godhead who died, really died. God, if you like, was dead over a period of 3 days, part of Friday, the whole of Saturday, and part of Sunday morning. And don't you find that absolutely astounding? Absolutely amazing. Totally unexpected. That's another reason I chose that, because of the title and the theme running through. All sorts of aspects of the incarnation were quite unexpected and amazing and wonderful and astounding. And the same is true about the death of Jesus, the
Mary
death of God.
Mary was really scared when the angel came
can
to
you get
her.
Your mind
there was
that,
one main
the,
angel
the being
called
that
Gabriel.
Created the universe,
he was
the life
just
force
a boy angel.
The
she had wings and she was
death
all white. The angel
the
said,
unity of that Godhead.
You're going to have a special
Hero Israel, the
baby,
Lord your God, the Lord
and
is
it was
one.
God's
there
son.
Is only one God.
She was quite
that
excited,
was
a bit scared.
And she was
and
like,
was
oh my gosh, I'm going to have the Son of God. And then she
amazing
was like, I can't,
well,
I'm not married and stuff.
I would encourage you
Joseph,
to recapture that sense of amazement at all of these
Mary told Joseph that she was having a baby called Jesus and it was God's son.
Or Sunday when we'll all be dressed up in our finest
then
and celebrating
saw
here
the angel
at the resurrection.
In a dream. I think Joseph was really scared.
And what I move on to is a point I made last time,
and then they went
I
to Bethlehem.
Time and time again, we're talking about real history.
Hot.
We're talking
she
about
had a
real
baby
events.
In her tummy,
that was based
and
on
she
the
would
true
have been
story,
really
as is,
heavy.
What we know about Good Friday and Easter Sunday. When it comes to Christmas,
we
don't have an exact date. We choose the 25th of December,
they
it's a bit arbitrary, and the scholars will debate whether it was BC 4 or BC 7. We don't know anything.
Everyone's
but we come
no
to Easter,
an angry voice because it was
we
the
are
middle
much,
of the night.
We are much more certain. And I can tell you that I'm
the
probably 95 to
95%
certain that the first Good Friday was Friday the 3rd of
the
April, AD 33.
I had to go to a barn.
And we know it's a Friday.
And
all the
baby
evidence is that it was a Friday.
It had
the gospel
sheets,
evidence, Jewish evidence
like,
from the time, astronomical data that tells you when Passover was fixed. All of that points to the fact it was a Friday and then a Sunday. 100% certain of that. And people who studied it say
Mary
there were probably
baby Jesus
3 years
one
it
of
might
those
have
troughs
been, but overwhelmingly the
they
evidence is that it was
the
AD
baby
33.
Jesus
so Friday,
and they
the
loved
third of April.
Him.
And if ever the because denominations get round to agreeing
God
on a fixed date
Jonas
for Easter, it should be the first Sunday in April.
They both needed to look after the baby.
That will be my submission.
The angel told the
and that's how accurate it really that happened. And, you know, I was using obviously the dates in our current calendar, whichever calendar
kings,
that you use, you can fix the date
the
of
the
crucifixion and the resurrection.
Was born.
And then we call it good, and I mean, I'm sure you could find reasons yourself as to why we call it good. Actually, we were living in a French-speaking or Spanish-speaking country,
we
just call it Holy Friday.
Table.
This is Holy
I
Week, and each day this day is called
presents.
Holy. We were living in a German-speaking country. We call it Sorrow Friday,
and
the old German
got
word
some
for but if you are English speaking
and
or
then there was a giant
speaking wherever your ear is, it is Good Friday.
Everyone
and that was another
there
reason for using this video.
Party.
I got the impression out of that here was God watching over his creation with his heart breaking and wanting to do good for his people, for his children. And as he formulated his plan, however you envisage it, he decided that he would act, he would do something, he would send someone, he would send his son, he would send a person of the Godhead, he would send, I don't like to call it a part of himself, he would send the whole of himself embodied in Jesus Christ. And that led, he knew it would lead to death and resurrection later. But within the framework of history, God has acted for our good out of his unfathomable love for us. And that is good. That is actually very, very good. And every part of it is good. It is right that on Good Friday we do have a more somber, reflective mood. And we've had some of that, and there'll be more of it as we move to communion. It is good to remember that God suffered for us. And I'm not thinking so much of the physical suffering, because many other people have suffered probably far more gruesome and prolonged deaths than Jesus did. It's not that. It's the suffering that is represented within the Godhead. The fracturing of relationships that had never known fracturing before. The perfection that was marred by this event. And that, for me again, underlines the enormity of God's love for the people willing to do that. As we've gone through the Moses series over the past couple of months, we've found, if we read the whole account, we've found that from time to time, God gives an indication that he's getting a bit fed up with the human race and all its sins and its foibles. But he doesn't give up. And I can't interpret the mind of God, but I know that he will never give up. And this, for me, is one of those clear indications, clear demonstrations that God will never give up on us, he will never give up on me. Because he loved the world so much that he sent the Prince of Heaven, he sent his only Son for my sake. It is a holy day, it is a day to remember and celebrate good things about our faith. It is a day of sorrow as well, but overall it is a good day. It is Good Friday.